actually in our sermon series this morning on the walking through the major themes of the Bible. We are now at a point in history where the time of the judges are about to end. And we are about to enter a time when Israel is going to receive its first king named King Saul. And it's there in this time of transition that we pick up on our text. Hear the word of the Lord. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second son was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not follow his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old. Your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights." Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain of the vintage and give it to his officials and attendants, your male and female slaves or servants, and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and of yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, but the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles." When Samuel heard all the people had said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered, "Listen to them and give them a king." Then Samuel said to the Israelites, "Everyone go back to your own town." You've been observing it for some time now. Things have begun to change at home. That beautiful, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, slender girl who loved serving in the soup kitchen, found every opportunity to help the poor. She tutored children that struggled in school, no longer had any interest. That good child who used to sing songs of faith now ridicules you in the fact that you practice your faith. The respectful, kind child is no longer respectful anymore. In fact, she's downright rude. She's belligerent. She's not even fun to have at home anymore. Her clothes, you don't even recognize the clothes that she's wearing anymore. There comes the plethora of makeup, There's additions of piercings and talk about multiple tattoos. This one energetic, vibrant child now simply sits on the couch. Her hair no longer long and blonde and beautiful, but shaved. Her day is marked by how many likes she gets on her Instagram account and her Facebook. And you sit down with her and you begin to talk. You begin to listen. But almost instantly within her begins to be this sense of antsiness and anger, and she simply says to you this: I just want to be like everybody else. Leave me alone. I want to belong. She storms out of the room. And you're left in tears. And you wonder where things went so wrong. In our text this morning, we have that kind of scenario going on. Israel is saying, we want to be like everybody else. Just give us a king. But did you notice already a tension in the text? Because they already had a king. They had someone named Yahweh, who from the very beginning of the world wanted a relationship with them. They had a king who led them out of slavery, who provided for them in the desert, who gave them victory over victory over victory, who led them to a land flowing with milk and honey. And what they said is, we don't need you, God. And just like Samuel, and just like that parent, it had nothing to do with them, but it had everything to do with Israel and our identity with God. Israel should have understood what was going on. They would have recalled the law of God, which they would have written on the door frames of their home, would have written on their foreheads and on their hearts about having no one else or nothing else in the place of God. But now they're saying, God, we don't need you anymore. Remember what's been going on. Israel had had a battle recently with the Philistines, and they lost. And the Ark of the Covenant was taken away. But then an illness was bestowed upon the Philistines, and the Ark of the Covenant was placed on two cattle who had never been yoked before. And now, unbeknownst to Israel, the Ark of the Covenant comes back to them. It resulted in a time of revival. A time where God began to speak very clearly to his people. And they gathered right here at Mizpah, where God began to speak to them very clearly. And where Samuel offered a sacrifice. And then he offered a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And it's there that they set up an Ebenezer, a stone, a memorial, where they would be able to say, thus far God has brought us. But Israel had been saying, like our text has mentioned, all the way along, is that we don't need God. And remember, during the time of the judges, Israel would follow. They would experience blessing. But then they would decide that they could do it on their own. And we see that here. We want a king. We don't need God. And there'd be a time of disobedience and correction. And the cycle would go over and over and over again during the time of the judges. And here they say this: we want a king. A people who were called, who were set apart, who were declared holy, who had a special relationship with God, saying, it's not good enough. We want to be like everybody else. We want to be able to enjoy the treasures and the spoils of battle. We want to be able to live as we want to live and not be constrained to a law. We want to be free to enjoy all that life has to offer, and we don't want to think about it. Just give us a king who will tell us what we need to do. We'll do it, and we can enjoy life all the way along. But does that make you pause for a moment and to begin to think about the purpose of life? About what's really important for you and I? Everybody wants to be happy. But have you ever heard the stories over and over again by the people who went after everything their heart desired? And they say, I'd give it all up if I could just find meaning or purpose. We want to be fulfilled. We want to have it all, but how can you be fulfilled if you don't know your purpose? And if your purpose, in which God from the very beginning created every human being, was to know him and enjoy him forever, how can you ever discover your purpose in life if you don't know God? And like Israel, we echo the words of Paul Aka when he says, I did it my way. We want stability. But the only thing that is sure forever, besides death and taxes, is God. God is the only one who has been and ever will be a constant, abiding, and a secure presence in our lives. And so here is Israel. We want a king. And Samuel's heart is broken, not because it's a rejection of him, but a rejection of God. And catch what Samuel does. He does what Israel does not do. Samuel pauses for a moment and he prays. Why didn't Israel stop? Israel didn't stop because Israel had stopped listening to God. How are we doing at listening to God? Do we seek God's wisdom and insight in regards to our finances? Do we seek God's wisdom and insight in how we use our time? About the focus and the priority of life? Of the likes that we want on our Instagram account? Or is it that we want the like or the favor of God? What about the church? As people look at the church today, do they see the church becoming more like Jesus or more like the world? Heard this great story this week that exemplifies that life that is being changed by God. There was a woman who showed up to church one Sunday with her two kids, and she was a little rough around the edges, to say the least. Her children were brought upstairs to the nursery, and she went into the service, and at the end of the service, both of her kids had bloody noses. They'd been to fight. They had broken numerous toys in the nursery. And on the way out of church, you could already begin to hear the mother cursing and yelling at her children. Her head hanged very, very low, knowing that this wasn't going to happen again. And she went home devastated and broken. But then there, the church began to reflect that calling of God, and she received a letter one day. And it simply said, it was good to have you with us last Sunday. Thank you for being so transparent. I need to work on that myself. Thank you for wearing your emotions on your sleeve. Because it reminds me I need to be more tender to the stories that I don't know. Oh, the toys? Don't worry about it. They can be replaced. I hope you'll come back next Sunday because it was good to meet you and I think we could become friends. Here's a story of a woman who had not forgotten, who understood what it meant to be led and moved and transformed and shaped by God. And here is Israel with a twofold problem. They're saying, we want a king, was a rejection of everything they had ever experienced about God, of everything that had ever happened in their history where God had showed up. They wiped it off as if it didn't matter. But the second, I think, is something we can relate to a little more, is that they made an impulse decision. Samuel is getting old. His kids were crooks. They were no better than Eli's. They took bribes. They perverted justice. And now they were to take over. And because they see what's going on with Samuel, they know what's coming down the line, they simply said, just give us a king. It'll be better than what's coming down the pipe, and we'll be like everybody else. And so Samuel pauses for a moment and he prays. Six times in the English language, four times in the original, we're given this. Are you sure? Because here's what's going to happen if you get what you ask for. Let's catch out what's going to happen to Israel. This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He's going to take your children, your sons. He's going to make them serve with his chariots. He's going to put them into battle. You want a king to lead you? He's going to put your kids at the front line, and they're going to fight for him. But if you want it, I'll give you a king. He will assign them to be commanders of thousands, some of fifties. Others will plow the ground and reap his harvests. And still others to make weapons and equipment for his chariots. He's going to take your daughters. He's going to make them to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He's going to take the best of your fields, your vineyards and your olive groves, and he's going to give it to his attendants. And you're going to be left with the leftovers. You're going to be worse off than you were before. He's going to take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants, your male and your female slaves or servants, and the best of your cattle and the donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. I think of those moments where, like Israel, we make that impulse decision. We want what we want. Just give it to me now. 43 kings cover 450 years of biblical history. Anyone got a guess how many kings actually walked in the ways of the Lord? Anyone got a guess? Eight. Sometimes we need to be careful what we ask for. And here's where I think our text makes us wrestle with our own story. How often do we, like Israel, simply do life on our own without us asking God for help? How often do we make a decision and ask God to bless it rather than ask for God's blessing during the process? How many times are we like Israel and simply say, if I only had the certain spouse, if I only had a certain amount of money, if I only had the right job, if only I got that extra like on my Instagram, if only I was liked, then I would make it. How many times do we put another king in front of Jesus? You see, this morning, there are two choices for you and I this morning. There are two kings. There is the king of the world, which will give you whatever your heart desires, but it's going to leave you hungering and wanting and thirsting for more. And if we follow the king of the world and seek after wealth and popularity and fame and looking after ourselves, I can tell you that you will be more empty than you've ever been in your life, because you will always want more. It'll never be enough. You will never be satisfied, and your heart will be ultimately empty, and you will be alone. But you see, there's another king, and his name is Jesus. He is the king who came into the world, who called you, who created you, who sculpted you, who desires to fill your life with good things, who has never abandoned you or abandoned me, and he never will. And he will always be with us. And he tells us that in him our souls can be satisfied. We can be renewed and refreshed, and we can be restored. And so the question for us this morning, like Israel, is not we want a king, but who will you serve this morning? And I can tell you from experience, and maybe you can echo that, that following Jesus is the wildest but the most exciting and the most life-giving ride. And he still sits on the throne. And one day, that same king will come back, and he will take us to be with him, and there will be no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more sadness, and no more death, and we will be with him, and we will enjoy him forever. So here's my hope and my prayer, is that this morning, we would say, give me Jesus, because it's more than enough. Amen. We're going to pray together, and as we do, we want to remember Ellen as she has her surgery on Tuesday. But we also want to give thanks with Brad and Lika that little Ethan was able to come home this week. And in talking with them this week, there doesn't appear that there's going to be any lasting long-term effects from the complications during birth. So we want to give thanks to God for that, and we want to celebrate that with them as well. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we give you thanks that you are the giver of all good gifts. We thank you that in a world that wants us to find our approval in stuff, in what other people have to say, that we would find our identity in a king who loves us more than we could ever imagine. And this morning, I know that there are silent stories that are wrestling with what our text is dealing with. Lord, I just pray that you would shine brightly and powerfully in those moments, that your grace would shine through. And like you use the words of Samuel, we would respond too as he did in that early call, here I am, Lord. And Lord, as you would later appoint kings, and then you would send out disciples to be your messengers in the world, may we as your church be that physical, real presence of your grace in a world that is broken and hungering for you. And may all of our lives, every part of it, moment by moment, day by day, be shaped more and more into that likeness. That as we go to work, as we go to the grocery store, as we come here, as we walk around our neighborhoods, people would say something like this about us. There's something different about you. And we could say, his name is Jesus. Can I tell you about him? And Lord, we thank you for that story of faith. And Lord, as we think of that story of faith, we thank you for your hand upon our lives. Lord, we thank you for your work in the life of little baby Ethan. And we thank you, Lord, that not only was he able to return home this past Thursday, Lord, but we give you thanks that there are no long-term lasting effects, it appears, from the complications he experienced. Lord, we thank you how you have watched over this little child in such a special way. And now, Lord, we pray that he would be a blessing to Brad and Lika. We pray that the story of faith would ring true in his life, and that even now, years later, as the story of his birth would maybe be retold to him, he would be able to echo, this was something only God could do. And Lord, as we ask for something only you could do, Lord, we just pray for an overwhelming sense of peace for Ellen as she prepares for her surgery on Tuesday. We pray that you would guide the doctor's hands. We pray that you would so surround her as she goes into that, Lord, that she would be at such peace and such rest as the doctors begin to operate. There may be a story of faith being told in those moments. And that the doctor's hands would not only be guided, but Lord, there would be a total and a complete and absolute recovery for her. And Lord, we just pray that you would watch over her and Mark as they walk towards Tuesday. And Lord, as we think of your healing hand, we also want to just pray for Carolyn as she goes for another injection this Monday. Lord, we just pray that these treatments would be successful for her eyesight. Lord, we pray that there may even be significant signs of improvement, Lord, after this time, that you would watch over her vision. Lord, you know how important that is, not only for everyday life, but in being able to help care for Kara. Lord, we just pray that you would watch over her health and that you would strengthen her and that you would refresh her. And that she walks through this time, Lord, she too would experience your peace and your grace. We thank you for the fact that we can live out of that and we can tell that story. We thank you that we can tell that story with Phil and Janetta in Tanzania. Lord, we pray that you would bless their work. We thank you for their safe arrival back there. But Lord, we also give you thanks that we can tell that story through moments like our Alpha program at Genesis Place, to our boys club and our gems and our insight and our small groups and through our worship and through the moments we have in our interactions together. And we thank you for the ways in which you shine through. And so, Lord, we ask that in this week where we are being pulled at from every angle, that we would simply be able to say, no, Jesus is my King and he is enough. And that our witness to the world would be powerful and profound as we love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And then together, as the community of faith, that we begin to love our neighbor as you have loved us, so Jesus would shine through. In your name we pray. Amen.